the burden of my heart today is our whole duty. Our whole duty. And if we go to Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. This is the whole duty of man. You know, sometimes you might have a job and you want to know exactly what the boss wants you to do. Sometimes they might not be very plain. They kind of tell you some of it, and they may not be as plain as you need them to be, so you'll know exactly what to do. But you know, I'm thankful that God's not like that. He gives us exactly what he wants us to do. We're not left to just guess. We're not even left to the whims of other people telling us what to do. We are given the word of God. And this is what's going to stand in the judgment. Not my opinion, not your opinion, not somebody else's opinion, but thus says God's word. He is a faithful God. He lets us know what he wants us to do and what he expects of us. Yes. You know, when we live for God, we want to obey him and we want to do his will. But do you know what motivates all that? Love. Yeah. God loved us and we love him back. Yeah. And because we love him, we want to do what he says to do. If we are going to live an eternity with God, we're going to have to do what he says, what he wants us to do. Right. You know, a lot of people will say, yeah, but, you know, I think won't stand in the judgment. No. What's going to stand is thus says the Lord. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Everything that we do, our duty to God, is wrapped up in keeping his commandments, what he says in his word.
Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13.
Why? This scripture even tells you why. For God shall bring every work in the judgment with every secret thing. Sometimes people think they got by. They did some things and they think they got by. But you know what? We can get by man, but we cannot get by God. Yes. Yeah. God is going to bring everything you did and I did into the judgment. It might be a nice, well-kept secret, but God saw it, and he's going to bring it right into the judgment. He said, whether it's good or whether it's evil. So we want to be careful. We want to be careful in our lives, you know. When we give our heart to the Lord, God makes a change in us, and we walk carefully. We don't walk like we did before. No. We used to do whatever we wanted to do, whatever came across our minds, and we wanted to do it, we did it. But when we live for God, that changes. Amen. Let's go to Micah 6 and 8. I need a good reader that reads loud.
He had showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
He has showed thee, O man. We can't say that we have an excuse because he has showed thee, O man. That's man, woman, boy, girl. He has showed us what to do. He has showed thee, O man. What does the Lord require thee? It says, but to do justly, which is to do the right thing, to love mercy,
and to walk humbly with thy God.
And to walk humbly with thy God. We have no excuse to have pride in doing our own thing, because we need to humble ourselves to walk with God. There's a song that says that. Humble yourself to walk with God. And so, even though we have this great love in our heart for God and our obedience to him is motivated by love, that's wonderful. We have a responsibility. We want, you know, some people say they love God, but they want to do their own thing. And they say, God loves me, and he loves me too much to send me to hell. Haven't you heard those things?
Yes.
That's not right.
That's not true.
It's not true at all. He loves you too much to not let you know what to do. That much he does. But if you choose, and you know he gives us, we are free moral agent. We are free to choose to do right or not. He's not going to take us and wrap something around our neck and drag us and make us do anything. He tells us what to do, and he gives us that choice. But if we love God, we want to do what he tells us to do. So let's go to Luke 17 and read verses. Start at 7. Luke 17. Do you know, if you say you love God, that love in your heart helps you to do what God wants you to do? That's what love does. It doesn't give you the right to do your own way, but it gives you the desire to do God's way. 7, 8, 9, 10.
But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And would not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? That he thanked the servant because he did the things that were commanded him. I throw not. So likewise ye, when you have all done those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.
It is our duty. It is our duty. What we do for God, don't expect the thanks. I mean, you know, God does bless us for doing what he tells us. Yeah. But don't expect that he's going to say thank you. It's our duty. We owe this to God.
Yes.
God made us. He created us. He sent his son to die for us.
Yes.
And the least we could do is to obey him. Yes. Least we could do. Yes. It's our duty. If you want to know what your duty, it is my duty to serve the living God, to do what he says do. And one scripture says, and his commandments are not grievous. He gives us commandments to do, but they're not grievous. We can do it. All we have to do is submit ourselves to him and be willing to live and walk in his ways. So what does the Word of God tell us to do? We are required to live a certain way, aren't we? When we claim to be a child of God, We need to live like a child of God. We need to be an example of a child of God. The old things that we used to do, we put them aside. The old ways of thinking, the old ways of acting, the old ways of talking, the old ways of places we used to go, all of that, we put it aside. Amen. He's so worthy of our duty. He's so worthy of the things that we do for him. We shouldn't feel like we're just, oh, woe is me, because I'm doing the will of God. We should count it a privilege to do something, give back to what he has given us. And so we want to be careful, though, the way we live. Put aside. When you, Jesus told that lady, you know, that was caught in adultery, and he said, where are those thine accusers? And she said, no man, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. But what did he tell her? Go and sin no more. Don't go back to it. Yes, you were caught in, you could have lost your life, but you have been spared. You've been given mercy. And for that reason, go and sin no more. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews 12 and 14. So we want to live a life that's pure, holy, and righteous, and godly. That's the kind of life we want to live. That's what is our duty. Our duty is to live a holy, righteous life before him.
Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
Notice that scripture? Follow peace with all men. Let that soak in. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to live in eternity with God?
Yes, ma'am.
Live a holy life.
This is our vessel.
Yes. Live a holy life.
Walk in the footsteps of Jesus.
Yes. Psalms 119. Let's read 1 through 5.
Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walks in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him in the whole heart. They also do not inquire when they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes.
Yes. Blessed are the undefiled. That's a clean person.
Yes.
They're not doing any wrong. That walk in the way of the Lord. The blessings of the Lord will be upon us if we will live a holy and righteous life. Undefiled. No fault there. No sin there. When you give your heart to the Lord, you give up the sin business. That is gone. That's in the past. That's dead. That's the old life. We die. Do you know when you get baptized, baptism is a symbol of death. Just like Christ died and rose again, baptism is a symbol of death. You died to the old ways and the old life, and you rise to walk in the newness of life. Like Jesus rose from the dead, we rise to walk in the newness of life. Let's go to 1 Peter 1 and read verses 15 and 16. Now, if you read for me, please read loud. Yes.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
God said that.
Amen.
He said, it is written, God is the one, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is a holy God, and he expects his people to live holy. You must live holy. It is a requirement. It is our duty to live a holy life. When we get saved, we're going to rise now. We've gotten saved and walk in the newness of life. We're going to start living a holy life. We put away all the filthiness of the flesh. And now we have a clean life. Psalms 11:7.
Psalm 11:7. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright.
Okay. He is a righteous God, and he loves righteousness. So we must live a righteous life if we're going to please him. We cannot say sin you must and sin you can't help. That is false. The scripture does not support that. But God is a righteous God, and he expects righteousness. There, it is a must. It is the duty to live a righteous life. If you claim to live for God, you must live right. Psalms 4:3.
But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him.
You want the Lord to hear you when you pray? Live a godly life. Yes. Living righteous is living a godly life. Godly is like God. How is God? He's holy. He's righteous. He's pure. There's no sin, no nothing. Sin can't even come in his presence. Did you know that? He can't. You cannot come in the presence of God with sin. You have to get rid of the sin business. Let's go now to Romans 6. And we're going to read 1-4. All of this has been made possible for us to live like this is through Jesus. Jesus died on the cross that we don't have to sin and keep repenting, but that we can walk sin-free on every day. We make mistakes. We're human. But a mistake is not a sin. What happens, the difference in sin and mistake, a mistake is not a willful wrong. A sin is.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
All right, so that's 1-4.
Yes.
Listen, when we give our heart to the Lord, and I was trying to explain it a while ago, we get saved, and then we get baptized. And we get baptized, it's a symbol of death. We die. We die to the old life. We are letting everybody know that I'm no longer the same person. The person you saw before and the person you see now are two different people. And I am walking in the newness of life. So dead, I'm buried. The old life is buried. And when I come up out of that water, I rise to walk in the newness of life. Ephesians 4:20-29. So these are the duty. This is the whole duty, our whole duty, is to live, obey God's commandments, and walk a holy and righteous life.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and read verse 19.
Okay.
Being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, which is impure desire, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
Okay.
Here give place to the devil.
You see, you putting off all those things. You don't lie anymore. I think it's more to that, isn't it? Yes.
Let him that stole steal no more.
Yes.
But rather let him labor or work, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
So you see the change?
Yes.
You're from the old corrupt life, saying all kinds of evil things, stealing and lying and all of these things. That's the old man. The new man tells the truth. Yes. The new man works with his hand and don't steal. This is the change. This is what God does for us.
Can we read verse 31 and 32 as well?
Okay.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, well, those are ugly words, aren't they? Be put away from you with all malice. That means to reject them.
Yes.
And be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Such a change. There's a song that says, great change. Do you know that song, Sister Carla?
I think I know some of it.
Just sing a little bit.
Great change since I've been born. Great change. Since I've been born, oh, there's a great change since I've been born. There's a great change since I've been born. The lies I used to tell, I tell them no more. The drinks I used to drink, I drink them no more. Oh, the places I used to go, I go there no more.
The great change
since I've been born. The clothes I used to wear, I wear them no more. The dance I used to dance, I dance it no more. Oh, the lies I used to tell, I tell them no more. Cause there's a great change since I've been born.
Yes.
Since I've been born, great change. Since I've been born, oh, there's a great change. Since I've been born, there's a great change. Since I've been born.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. So you see, it's wonderful. This change is wonderful. You know, the enemy will make you feel like, oh, if I give my heart to the Lord, I can't do this and I can't do that. And we're the happiest people.
Yes, amen.
When you give your heart to the Lord, that great load of sin is off of you.
Yes, it is.
You happy. I think about Bertha and I were talking. Somebody said, "You always smile." They told her. She said, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Amen. He changes you. He takes you from that old mean attitude, bad attitude, you a chip on your shoulder, and just waiting for somebody to knock it off, and you going to tell them about themselves, and he changes you.
Yes,
he gives you kind words.
Yes,
those old curse words, they go away, and he puts good words in there. All of those bad things that you sneaking and doing, and with a can't hardly sleep at night because you got a bad conscience, all of that's lifted. That big load is gone. And it's a great change since I've been born. It's wonderful. That's why I'm here in Boley, because I want to tell people about this great change, this great life. I see people that's grieved and their head hang down and they're mad at the world and all of these things. And if only they could know what Jesus did. He brings peace. He brings happiness. He brings joy. The old bottle of alcohol don't give happiness. You know what it does? It might make you forget your problem for after a while, and you got a headache, and you got all kind of problems, and you're talking wrong to your spouse and other people. It gives you a bad attitude and a bad look on life. That's no good.
No, it isn't.
But you know, you throw away that alcohol and get Jesus.
Amen.
Get Jesus. He makes a change. He makes you happy.
Yes,
he makes your life wonderful.
Yes.
No matter, yes, we have sorrow and things, but he's right there with you. You don't have to go alone. This is why I'm here.
Amen.
This is why I'm here in Boley. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. We'll talk a little bit more about this change.
Amen. It says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death."
Keep going. Read a little more.
"For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrow after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourself. Yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all these things, ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter."
So when you are godly sorrow, when you come to the Lord and you tell him, "Please forgive me. I'm sorry the life I've lived. I'm sorry the things I've done. Please forgive me." He cleans you up, and he makes a change in you.
Yes,
and it says, what? Clearing of yourself. If you stole something, you'll go take it back.
Amen.
If you talked about people and did them wrong, you straighten things.
Yes.
You fix it. To the best of your ability, you fix the past. It changes you.
Yes,
but it's a wonderful change. Let's go now to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7. There's a song that says, "There's a wonderful change."
I know. Yes.
Do you know that?
"What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Jesus came into my heart.
Yes, amen. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7.
For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness.
Read the rest.
He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit.
So he hasn't called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He has called us. That is our duty, to live a holy life. And let's go back to 2 Corinthians 7 and just read verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We want to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Let's go now to Colossians 3 and start at verse 3 and read to 10. How are we going to perfect this holiness in the fear of God? We're going to put off all filthiness of the flesh. We're going to put off all the evil things we've done. We're going to put off all the old life and perfect holiness in the fear of God.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Keep going.
For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Did you finish to 10?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. So you see, we are new. We are new. Yes. We're not old. That old life is gone.
Amen.
And now we have a new life in Christ Jesus. I desire your prayers. I want us to sing this song, We Must Be Holy. It's in our song book.